Hi there, welcome to Talk Canicross. I'm Janetta George.
And I'm Gail Walker. We're here today to talk all things Canicross, the fun way to get fit with your dog.
So each month we'll be joined by a special guest or two. We'll hear from professionals, regular Canicrossers, and also dog and human experts in their field. It will be real people and real stories.
So we hope you'll join us, whether it's for training tips, dog talk, or just for fun and encouragement. This is Talk Canicross, brought to you by DogFit. And don't forget to hit subscribe and keep in touch with all things Canicross.
Do you have an anxious, reactive or nervous dog and think Canicross is the last thing you'd be able to do with them, especially when you're out with another group of people and their dogs? Well, you'd be pleasantly surprised that Canicross is actually a really positive experience for your dog in those situations. And we've actually got countless examples from over the years of running DogFit of clients that have actually had really positive experiences with their reactive dogs or anxious dogs. We wanted to talk to you today about just how positive that experience is. So, as I mentioned, we get lots of inquiries about this, and a lot of people are worried about whether they can actually do Canicross with their dogs. And we just wanted to allay any fears you may have. And I, for one, have had and have reactive dogs, and Canicross has actually been a saviour for them, and I highly recommend it for anyone who's contemplating it. But in case you do have any doubts, we are joined by DogFit trainer Lindsay Mulford today, who's actually going to share her experiences with reactive dogs. And in fact, her own dog that she runs with, the beautiful River, is reactive. And Lindsay actually gets lots of inquiries on the back of her positive experiences with River. And River is a great advocate, as well as Lindsay, for the sport. So we thought, well, who better to talk to than Lindsay about her experiences? And hopefully in this podcast, we'll cover off a lot of questions you might have, along the way. So first of all, Lindsay, it's great to have you here and lovely to see you.
Thanks very much.
So good to have you on the show. And I know that we're going to cover a lot of things that people with an anxious or reactive dogs, it's going to reassure them and how beneficial Canicross can be. But before we kind of dive into all of that, for our listeners, it would be great if you could tell us a little bit more about yourself, obviously, and your dog, and obviously your DogFit trainer, how you've come across the sport. So what was your journey?
I've been a personal trainer for 10 years. I'm a trainer and a spin instructor, and working sort of in the Shoreham, West Sussex area. I actually trained to be a personal trainer because I wanted to lose some weight. I was actually 5 stone heavier than I am now. And I actually had a personal trainer, and I thought to myself, well, if I can do it with a personal trainer, I know there's lots of kind of barriers that people put up, but yeah. I could do it. So I went out there and I thought, well, actually, I can help people. I wasn't really, I'm not an athlete or anything like that. So I kind of went along sort of becoming a personal trainer for that reason. So I've been training people for sort of 10 years. I kind of decided that I'd set myself a couple of goals, and I thought, well, I'll start off nice and easy and set myself up to do a marathon. I thought that's super one to get going with, as you do, yeah.
Obviously.
So I attempted to do a Brighton Marathon and sort of got into training and everything, and did okay. Because then, unfortunately, it then sort of knocks on, doesn't it? And you kind of then have to beat your time, and then you have to do a different one. And yeah. Repeat that time, and it goes on and on and on. So when I was out training, I spent a lot of training time running, endless Sundays running out on my own. And I thought to myself, well, I need a running partner. So I thought, well, I'll get myself a running partner. But obviously, people, they talk to you. I'm not very good at running and talking. I actually find it easier to just kind of run and not be able to talk. So I thought, well, I'll get myself a partner that can't talk back.
A furry one.
A furry one with three, four legs. And I thought, that's a great idea. So, so we decided we were going to get a dog to come out running. So we sort of tested leg lengths to sort of see which was going to have the longest legs and keep up or not keep up, or me keep up with them, or whatever it was. But we decided to get a rescue dog. So we got River. She was 6 months old when I got her. Had been very badly treated before we picked her up, but we went out running together, and you know, at the time, I didn't really know anything about Canicross at all. I just went out on, you know, like everybody, with a lead. She was always on a harness. She was never on a collar. Yeah. But she was always on a harness. Didn't really know there was equipment that you needed, or and then we decided that, you know, we got up to sort of half marathon distance, and we entered the Three Forts Challenge, which is a local run.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hardest, I think, half marathons and marathons in the area.
I've actually done that one. With the dogs, actually. Yeah.
Lovely. It's great, and it's but it's quite, you know, it's very popular, I think, with people sort of around this area with dogs.
Yeah.
And I met a local sort of Canicross group who there was sort of quite a lot of people that were taking part with Canicross group, and saw these dogs on these fancy harnesses, and you know, my poor little one was sort of running along next to me in a normal harness, and I didn't know anything about it. And I sort of talked to them about it. And at the time, River wasn't particularly reactive. We didn't really know her sort of reactiveness came out sort of later on. But we got involved with the group, and I went to a couple of other events and bought a harness, and, you know, proper harness for myself. Yeah. And, you know, and then our journey sort of started from there. But, yeah, River, a lot of River's sort of reactivity came out afterwards. She was a little bit older. And, you know, we then obviously spent a lot of time sort of going out with groups, and always happened to be very aware of where we were. But that's kind of how we sort of started. So now, you know, I'm a personal trainer. And I thought to myself, you know, I enjoy obviously running with her. So I sort of went, well, maybe I can be a dog fit trainer as well. And that's kind of how that came around, because I just searched on the internet, kind of having a dog that was not particularly very comfortable around other dogs, and thought, well, actually, she's actually okay when she does this. She seems to be much happier. Mm. I guess she's, you know, she's been, we don't know huge amounts about her history. We know that she was dumped. We don't think she was socialized as a youngster. So I think a lot of her sort of social issues come from the fact that she just wasn't socialized, and she doesn't know where the boundaries are. But Canicross sort of certainly has kind of helped her sort of deal with those and deal with those issues.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what I'd really like to delve into, actually, with you, because for people listening who can relate to your situation with River, and there are many of us out there, and I think especially if anyone got even those that aren't necessarily rescue, but they might have had a puppy during lockdown, and it's been very difficult for people to socialise their dogs. So sort of moving into the whole Canicross side of things, so how would you say that has helped River? You know, what are the sort of things you noticed maybe at the start, and now, you know, later down the years, as she's now got, it's become the norm for her?
Yeah, she, I think very much she, when we first were going out, she was very anxious about the dogs. She, you know, I could walk her down, at some points I could walk her down the street and she wanted to, she'd see a dog 100 meters away and she would react to it. And, you know, Canicross has kind of given her a job. It's given her something to focus on. As a reactive dog, you know, her recall is not very good because of her breed as well, that, you know, they want to chase small furry things. So, you know, you've got to be the best thing in the world. And unfortunately, small furry things going to be better. So for her, her sort of health-wise, this is her opportunity to go running. You know, she doesn't really come off of a lead unless I hire a field for her to be a dog. So, you know, this Canicross has certainly kind of health-wise has helped kept her fit, given her that sort of opportunity to let off some steam, to run, but also to socialise. But socialising, I guess, in a controlled kind of way, because you can keep that distance between the two dogs. They can still be around each other, you know, or several dogs that you might have in a group, but they can still be around each other, but be very, you know, you're in control of it. And the dogs are always attached. Dogs are always attached to people. So therefore, you know, you've got that control to stop the sort of the interaction and stuff like that. But I think when they've got a job, and I think very much, you know, that kind of, they're very focused. And for her, that tires her, you know, she has to go and concentrate. I do scent work and things like that with her as well, which is very mentally kind of stimulating for her. But I also think Canicross is the same. So for her, she really has to go out and try hard to not react. And I think that's quite mentally draining for her sometimes, as well as the physical side of running, you know, 5-10K, half marathon or whatever.
I think that, we, you know, as a company, we actively encourage people that do have anxious dogs to try Canicross because it can be so transformational for them in terms of they then get more exercise because some of these dogs, like River, can never be off the lead unless they're in a secure field. So consequently, they're walking, but they're not getting that exercise. No. So how does she, do you actually notice her kind of going into a different gear once you've put the Canicross harness on? I know that obviously when you're obviously taking groups out, so you're kind of managing her. She must know I'm doing that job now.
Yeah.
How does she react in those situations?
I think certainly when I do one-to-one, she likes to show off. she's quite good at kind of, she knows that her job is to teach, and you know, and I don't know how she knows that. I just think there's just dogs are very, very clever. And I do think that putting the right kind of, you know, she wears a normal harness when she walks with me, but she has her Canicross harness for running, and she knows what to do in each one. I've never really taught her that. I never had to teach her in an ordinary harness to walk a hill. She just does. And I think that's because she doesn't come off of a lead. So she kind of thinks, well, that's actually easier. I can just walk along next to you, you know, so you're stopping me and correcting me for sniffing this and sniffing that. But I think in a group situation, she just seems to know that that's her job, and she loves to be followed by the other dogs. If she, you know, I do find a lot of people kind of come along with us and then they'll go out on their own and their dog won't pull.
Yeah.
If she's in front, they will pull and they'll follow her. But she's constantly, she's quite funny because she checks over her shoulder all the time just to make sure they're all behind. If we lose somebody or somebody stops, she's the first one to tell me because she'll stop and she'll wait.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, one of our other guests that we had on, there was a gun dog trainer, and there's always that question, is that does the dog know the difference with what harness that they're in? And it's like putting on a uniform. And that's just so lovely to hear. And she would be that lead sled dog, wouldn't she? Because it's a lot, you know, when they're running in a pack, it's like the sled dogging community where there is a lead one that knows the way. And she sounds like,
she does. I think also she knows where they are. So she's very aware of where the other dogs are. She will look behind her. So she will check. She's doesn't particularly like being behind them. I do, because it means that she runs a bit faster. but she very much knows where her role is. And I guess she's a little bit older now. She's 9. So she's a little bit older than some of the youngsters that come out with us. So I think she's a little bit more grounded. So, you know, so it's a bit of a, come on, you know, youngsters, follow me.
It's lovely though, isn't it? When you think about where she started, she was 6 months, and where she's got to now, and now she's, you know, leading the way for the other dogs. And it's given her a job to do, and she know, and it's that reassurance, I suppose, you've got into that routine with her, and she knows what to do. And
I still think there's moments where she kind of goes, I just don't want to do it today. And I think you just have to, like anybody, you just have to respect that. And, you know, some dogs are just full on. So, you know, sometimes she, I guess as a little old lady, she's getting that way. She kind of like can't tolerate some of the youngsters.
This is like people, isn't it, really? I mean, it's fair enough. But it sounds brilliant. And so obviously you've got your classes. So when you run your classes, she's very much in the moment, focused, and actually is helping you lead those classes, helping teach the young dogs, the newbies, and which is brilliant because that's a great story in itself, isn't it? To be able to show people, you know, that you've got a reactive dog that's actually quite at ease doing Canicross. So we talked about when you're running classes, and we'll come back to that in a moment because I'd like to talk to you about some of your clients that you have reactive dogs or nervous dogs. But you've also, you mentioned earlier about doing races with River. I always think it's very different scenario when you're in a race environment with a dog than when you're just doing a social run. So I myself, with my dogs in the past, you know, I've turned up at an event, and maybe the dogs that I find that get more stressed about, well, it's not stressed, but get more, they're more wired, I suppose, and feed off it more. I don't really like to sort of stand around in the melee and they all get worked up, and there'll be certain things that I would do to keep them calm, et cetera, et cetera. Or it might not be right for them. You know, it's not right for every dog. It might be too much for them. So it's working out whether it's excitement or if it's, you know, if it's too much stress. But yeah, so with River, obviously you've done a few races with her. So how do you manage that situation? Because obviously she's not just running with a group that she's leading the way. She's running amongst other dogs and maybe dogless runners if you're doing a mass event. And you have people overtaking and there's a lot of noise and a lot of dogs getting worked up at the beginning of an event and excited. So what's your sort of strategy and your recommendations and advice to people who might be contemplating doing a race with their dog that might be a bit, you know, reactive or nervous?
You know, it is hard, and it is, you have to have your eyes kind of wits about you. I certainly, you know, we will go to a race and we will sit near the back, especially near the sort of start line. So I tend to sort of start her off and we'll be at the back to one side. That just gives us exit points if we need to, but we can also see what's happening. But obviously you never stay in that position. You know, people are moving around, and like you say, you've got people overtaking you. So I very much kind of key commands for her. If I want to overtake somebody, she knows her lefts and rights. I give them lots of warning. I will warn people that we're going to come round them if we are going to. I always shorten her line. She runs on a short line anyway. So obviously there's lots of options of lines, but she runs on a short line. She feels safer running on a short line, but I feel like I'm in more control because I can shorten her line. So at the start of a race, I'll have her on like her line very, very tight or very short. So she's right next to me, so she can't get away. Because she does get excited, because as soon as they all start barking, it's, you know, I've seen some of the race directors trying to give free race announcements and
not hearing anything. Yeah, exactly.
But also, I wear a t-shirt and they, you know, dog fit sell t-shirts with my dog needs space, which I think is absolutely great. She's got a flag on her line as well. So I think that kind of just warns other people, because obviously me sitting behind people allows me to see what's going on. But, you know, people don't, especially, you know, some people are completely oblivious to the fact that a dog could potentially be reactive, and it might be reactive to people. So, you know, a lot of the races that we do tend to be sort of races that we've done before, or that we know that the organisers are very canny cross focused. Mm-hmm. We did Run Reigate, but we saw you guys there. My partner thought I was absolutely mad doing that one, because, you know, there was, what, 120 or
something like that.
all dogs, you know, because normally a lot of the sort of the organized races, there might be a handful of dogs there. You know, you might get sort of 20 dogs maximum. So you can kind of, but when you've got 120 dogs that you're in amongst, that's really quite stressful. But I would watch her body language as well. Very much watch her body language. I can tell if she's not happy. Tail goes between the legs, and it's a very obvious sign that she just isn't comfortable. And I'll try and take her out of that situation. And if that means finishing a race early, or you know, not doing the race, or turning around and going back, then, you know, it's her. I don't want to put her in a stressful situation that she doesn't need to. But she loves it when she's there. And she loves the medals. She's got more medals than anybody in the house.
Yeah, she absolutely knows. I mean, the Run Reigate event, and we're about to, at the time of recording this podcast, we're about to put on sponsor this year's event. But those 120 dogs all were off on a staggered start, weren't they? So they didn't, I think they were having kind of eight or so dogs going at intervals. So yeah, for anyone listening, it wasn't 120 dogs all
going off
at once. Very, very well organized race, and you know, and that's kind of why we did it. Because we knew it was going to be staggered starts. So for her, that's good. If it was a mass 120 start, it would be horrendous, and I'd be right at the back. And unfortunately, you've got a lot of people. I'm probably quicker than a few. I'm not that quick, but I'm quicker than a few.
Yeah, yeah.
So you will end up having to overtake somebody, or having to, people overtaking you. So I think as much much you can put out there to other people to help them understand that your dog needs a bit of space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with the t-shirts as well, obviously that does help. I mean, as we've mentioned earlier on, you do get inquiries because people know that you've got an anxious dog and maybe feel a bit more comfortable coming to you. And one of the things that we do actively encourage people to try the sport, but sometimes people are embarrassed about their dog, don't they? They don't want to join a group class because they're worried that their dog is going to embarrass them, or you can't hear what you're going to say. So actually they hesitate and they don't join in. What would you say to those people, maybe listening to this, thinking, I could never do it with my dog because it's just too going to kick off? And what would you say to those people?
I've been there with River. She's loud, she likes to shout, and sometimes you're trying to talk to people and she's shouting. So just you've got to do it, because it's so much fun, and it for a dog that is vocal, a lot of them calm down a lot once you start. It's actually for a lot of them, they get pent up when people are standing around talking. So I think actually, when you actually get going and actually get moving, you still get the one or two that will bark all the way around. I've got clients that have got dogs that bark all the way around because they're absolutely loving it. So bark doesn't necessarily mean that they're anxious. It's just, it's just that they're actually having fun, and that's kind of, but I think a lot of people are scared about going out and trying it. And I think people just unfortunately make excuses. So sometimes that's a bit of an excuse as well. So, it is possible to do with an anxious dog.
Yeah.
I think as well, if you go with friends or a friend, you've got someone there to reassure you. I think it's that fear of what if something happened, or I'm in a situation I can't, I don't know how to deal with it. So I think if you go with friends or someone like-minded people that can just give you that confidence boost. And you said yourself, I don't think it's about, you don't get there too early and hang around, and you accept you're not necessarily gonna go for gold medals here. It's about the having a positive experience and your dog having a positive experience. As long as your dog's happy, you put the dog's welfare first, and it can be a really good positive experience for them. A good, it's good in terms of the training, like you said yourself, it's the, you use commands, they're reliant on you as well, giving them directions, and there's that whole bond as well. But also getting them out amongst dogs in the right situation is going to help give them confidence and help socialize them as well.
Yeah.
It's just like you say, picking the right race, the right event, and maybe not one that's too big or too, and making sure it is a staggered start, like run, ride, gate, because that's perfect, because it's very gradual and it's not all congested at the start. So, but yeah, it's great that you've had some really good positive experiences with it yourself, and you're seeing some of your clients taking part in races as well.
And I think, my clients now and some of the group that I take out regularly at the weekends, it's quite nice for River, because actually she gets confidence because they'll come and do the races with us. We'll run together. And actually for River, she's quite happy because they surround her. So she's quite comfortable with running next to most of them now. To the point, I couldn't have done that several years ago, but she'll now run quite happily. And probably if I wanted to, I've done it a couple of times with a very chilled out dog that she loves, run her on a dual line. And I never have imagined being able to do that. So actually in some of the races, we do kind of, she surrounds herself with the team, and the guys that run with me are very aware of hers, her reactivity. So they surround us and they also protect her from...
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, which is lovely, which is really nice. So
I'm sure she feels really safe. So we'd love to hear a bit more about maybe some of your clients that have been completely new to Canicross and come to you, and what are some of the positive effects that you've seen on dog behaviour? Maybe some of the owners with their more anxious, reactive dogs when they've come to you.
Yeah, I've had quite a lot of people come to us in with various different sizes and shapes and stuff. but you know, a lot of them kind of have gone away having achieved something with their dog, and put them into a situation that they would never have imagined doing. And I think that sort of, even though we might not have achieved great distances, the fact that the dog has gone out there with other people and actually done something, because a lot of the dogs, you know, the dogs can be anxious for whatever, for many different reasons. And I certainly think, you know, I had a lady, Sarah, who had a English Bull Terrier, Prayer, who, you know, English Bull Terriers are not notorious for running. They're quite stubborn and don't really.
Tell me about it. I've got one of those.
They're really not really fans of running, are they? But
he's, luckily mine's crossed with Pointer, so there is. He will actually run, but he can be stubborn if he doesn't. You know, if he's not up for it. So yes, I get that right side of it though.
Prayer's a typical stubborn,
right? Yeah,
Bull Terrier. she's nervous of people, so she doesn't like people.
Okay.
So you know, her reason behind it, she was stabbed by somebody, and Sarah's a veterinary nurse and actually took her in and actually rescued her. And it took them a long time to actually kind of coax her into letting them stroke her, letting her, you know, her partner stroke her. She's a runner. She wanted to run, and she thought it'd be great for Prayer to kind of have a go. And we did go out there, and obviously for me it was my first experience. I dealt with reactive dogs to each other, but I'd never dealt with a reactive dog that was reactive to people. And she just said to me, just don't look at her, don't touch her, don't
look her in the eye.
And it was very much learning about kind of what I could do and how I could kind of, how I reacted to her. And basically, you know, it was kind of me learning from mum that it was there. She was going to follow me, and she was quite happy as long as I wasn't looking at her.
She was all right with River.
But yeah, I was concerned that River might, because River could be reactive. I was worried that she might react to Prayer, but she didn't. Now, whether they just had this kind of kindred, experience,
and it was chat together.
But there wasn't any, you know, Prey would just trot along behind River, and River would just run on and just wait for her. Which was lovely. So it was me that the dog had a problem with. We did get to the end of it with her taking a treat from me. And what we did is we just gradually increased the number of people in the group. So I used calm dogs that run with me, and their owners that were completely aware. And we just added, you know, next time we went out, we added an extra person, an extra dog. And then the next time we went out, we added another person and another dog until there was sort of five or six dogs. She was just like following along behind everybody. But yeah, we did get to that point that she would take a treat off of me, which was great, because obviously she then kind of, you know, realised that actually, you know, not everybody's bad out there.
And that's
lovely.
You can understand her reactivity.
Of course. So. It sounds awful, but what a lovely outcome though for her. She's been rescued by obviously someone who's fantastic and brilliant, and giving her the best life. But yeah, and her reactivity to people, just by doing the default, just doing canny cross, like you say, run. It's the same with dogs who react to other dogs. You're running in that pack, you're being socialised, and it's the same running alongside the people. And because you're all going the same direction and not, like you say, giving her eye contact, it's a way for her to be close to other people without feeling threatened. And she's got that reassurance of River and the gang and her mates. Yeah. And I think all of that combined has probably been, you know, a positive, a positive thing for her. So, and what about her owner? What was her reaction to that first?
I think she was quite surprised, because I think she really wanted to do something, to do some running with the dog, and she just didn't know how that was going to pan out and how that was going to work. But, and she knew that she couldn't do it off lead. It needed to be, and I think she kind of found me and kind of looked at that. But we did have a long sort of chat prior to sort of going out on the session, just to kind of what not to do, what, you know, what kind of because your automatic reaction, everybody's automatic reaction, go give the dog a stroke, isn't it?
Yes, and that's,
it's very hard not to.
Yeah.
And I think she, you know, I think she has to gone on and done quite a lot of ultras and things like that. I don't think Prayer has, but has.
That's so lovely to hear. And obviously your patience, but obviously that's the difference when you come to a class that is led, you know, by a Canicross coach, in that, you know, you are understanding the needs of the dog, you know, if they've got those issues. Are there any other examples? I mean, obviously that one point of difference there is obviously she was frightened of people, but what about when you get dogs that are kind of reactive?
Yeah, so I worked with a Collie Cross, I think it was Collie Cross, sort of Heinz 57 kind of Collie, Otto, who was reactive to other dogs. Mum actually had two dogs. So the other dog, Felica, was very chilled out. And I think they had the two together, hoping that Felica would actually calm Otto down. So I did a session with them, and she was going to bring both. She did bring both dogs, but she left Felica in the car because I suggested that we actually worked with Otto first, and then add Felica afterwards, which actually I think was the right way around, because Otto was just Otto and River kind of they had a little chat at the start, you know, jumped up and down, barked at each other, lunged, did all the things that, you know, reactive dogs do to start with, yeah. And then River started to kind of, you know, I said to her, let's just go for a run. What I tend to do with most of my clients is let's not move around and chat. Let's just go and run and see what happens. Give us plenty of space, so that if I stop or if I need to, you know, stop, you've got plenty of room to be able to stop as well. And also, as soon as we started to run, Otto sort of calmed down quite a lot. And River was very much, okay, you're right, he's following me now. He's still with me. He's still kind of okay. And she would just not react to him. But as soon as we stopped again, they'd start having a
That's why you're so super fit. And you can't do it.
That's what I say. You're hardly running.
And of course, the really good thing about Canicross, even when you're just having that initial chat, the dogs are always on the line, yep, and standing apart. They might be very vocal, but they're giving each other some space. But, you know, we see it all the time. So as soon as the dogs are running in the same direction, they're, you know, working together effectively, aren't they? So
yeah, very much. And if I did, towards the end of that session, we actually ran next to each other, but with a big distance between us. Zotto decided he wanted to race River, and River's not going to have that. She just kind of, like, she's probably very competitive, and so she kind of does this peek down, and they were running next to each other, which was lovely, because they weren't they weren't close, but enough of them to actually have a little bit of competition with each other. And I think a bit like us, they do exactly the same, you know, little glance, and little River's got this little look across, and then she'll just change her pace and pick it up. And he actually quite enjoyed that. It was interesting when we added Felica, the other dog, which was completely just chilled out, and River kind of tried to shout at her, and she just went, yeah, whatever. River's like, oh, well, that didn't work.
Go back to Otto. Yeah.
But that made a big difference to Otto, because he obviously then felt comfortable with her. Mm. Well, I think for the owner, having two dogs, I had an inquiry a little while ago from somebody that wanted to bring three dogs along. And I just kind of feel that first of all, you need to be able to understand, to control one. And I think probably the most reactive one is probably is the best one for you to kind of start with and to work with. Because I think then you can add the others, and they, to a certain extent, have that calming influence.
That sounded like exactly the right way around to do it. And obviously proved to the owner that, you know, Otto wasn't being accepting at all, because obviously the other dog was there. It was, you know, the two together. Oh, that's brilliant. So lovely to hear.
Yeah.
What about when you finish a run in those situations? Because I normally find, you said about at the beginning, don't stand around talking, the dog's all worked up. What about, how do you tend to finish your runs in those situations?
I'll tend to walk at the end of a session. So I tend to just kind of get them to walk kind of calmly back to a car, and I will tend to put River away And that kind of diffuses the situation, which then allows me to be able to kind of have a little bit more of contact with the owner and the owner's dog. Because I think it just diffuses the situation. The river by that point is quite happy just to get in the back of the car and have a snooze. So so I think, you know, I do try and kind of, if there is reactivity at the end, I will just extend it so that we end up on a positive note. Because I think the last thing is, if they're shouting at each other when they're going in the car, that's what they remember. Yeah. So actually sort of stopping that from happening and actually having a nice an experience at the end, which is positive, I think really key for them, because they will learn from that. So normally it's me putting River in the car, which allows me then to talk to the owner, which helps kind of just breaks that situation down.
Yeah, I mean, Janetta mentioned earlier that, you know, all our dog fit trainers actually have follow a breedal, you know, proper structured approach, which is all about safety in mind and having fun. And I think, you know, by the very fact that clients will tell you about their dog before they even turn up for a class, and then you can, if they're part of a bigger group, you can forewarn everybody else and be quite clear on, you know, we've got a reactive dog joining us, please give us the distance. And being attached at all times means everyone knows, you know, what that is, the 2 meters.
It's not the other way around. I'm warning that there's a normal dog coming as opposed to a reactive.
That's it. Sounds like it, because you've got your hands full, haven't you? But yeah, it's true. And also just having, I think that's something that will encourage people to get involved and seek out a class with a dog fit trainer, because they are going to get that, you know, safety and the reassurance, and also just, you know, the advice as well. You know, you're helping them not just about just having a go, but it's also bringing in the commands and giving and sharing your experience as well with River, to give them encouragement. I think you've said when we were talking before you came on the podcast, that you've got another example that sounded really interesting. Is it Rex that you mentioned?
Rex is a sprocker. And he's done a few sessions with me, and now he comes out on sort of regular group runs with us. And him and his dad sort of they came out. He's very chilled out. River's quite happy to run next to him now. Which to start with, again, there was a little bit of barking, but all from her. But he's actually become reactive since I've known him. So he got attacked by an off-lead dog, and now he's a little bit more sort of reactive to situations, to other dogs. He seems to be happier when he's running with a group than when he's out just walking on his own or whatever. So, but they, again, it's kind of, you never know what he's going to react to. He's an entire male, which is quite interesting, because River seems to have this affinity for the boys. any entire male she has no problems at all with.
Wow.
And we've got, so we go out and there's a group of us, and it is her and four entire males. Now they're normally pretty chilled out altogether, which is kind of, they're doing something, but occasionally they've all kind of, you know, they've had a little spat at each other. Rex is one of them, and he, you know, he's probably the smallest out of all of them, and he'll turn around and, you know, shout. And it's quite interesting that his reactivity has kind of come on as he's grown, as he's got older. So I think that they can, you know, a dog can become reactive at any point, you know, due to a bad experience or due to something that's in their wiring or whatever. It's interesting that him and River are perfectly happy to run next to each other. And occasionally I think he sniffed her, she sniffed him, and he just showed his teeth. And she's like, okay.
For what you're saying then, although he's become reactive, it's not so noticeable in the canicross situation. It's more when he's just walking on the lead. So canicross is still is almost like a safety net. It's like that safe place for him.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of them feel that as a group, and he certainly does. And you know, his dad has sort of said, I don't know how he's, because he didn't know how he was going to be after he was attacked, because it was a lurcher that attacked him. he didn't quite know how he was going to be with River.
Okay.
After being attacked by this lurcher, and they were, you know, he was perfectly fine with her, and I think it's because they built up a bond as well, mm-hmm. And they're quite happy to run sort of with each other, next to each other. It's interesting because we run with another dog, Basil, who he's reactive to bikes. So anybody that cycles past while we're out running, he'll react to the bike. And sometimes he reacts because River barks at something and he barks, but he doesn't know what he's barking at. He's just barking because she's barking.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll bark at any bike that comes past, whereas River just looks at him and just goes, oh, what do you... And they do. It's really interesting just kind of watching their body language and watching what they react to. Because they're all different. We all react to different things. So, like, we don't go anywhere that there's bikes. We don't go anywhere that there's horses. We try and avoid sheep. We try and avoid cows.
Other people, other dogs.
Other people, other dogs. But it's still fun because we go out together and it's still fun. And you know, this is a bunch of Asbo dogs, reprobates that, you know, have fun and get on with each other. And
So if anyone sees any sort of head torches out 2 a.m. running along the beach, that's you lot. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Wow, I'm very impressed. It sounds like you are like the magnet. You're like the sort of for all these reactive dogs, everyone sort of comes to you because they've seen they're all getting very positive outcomes from it. But you know, joking aside, it's fantastic because, I mean, Peter, I've always sort of actively encouraged people, you know, I've got nervous dogs, reactive dogs, or dogs that just need socialising or can't be let off the lead, to try Canicross because, you know, we see it time and time again how incredible it is for both the owner and the dog, because the owner must be bringing them so much joy to see their dog that they thought wouldn't be able to...
Oh yeah,
for the dogs to be able to do something like this.
Yeah, for me, it was, you know, to be able to go out and it's really hard. You know, you get yourself a dog to go to the park, to play ball, to walk around, to
dog things,
do dog things. And when you've got a dog that's anxious or reactive, and you have to be very aware of that. Yeah. It's nice to do something that is fun for them as well as you. And then get to socialise with other people that are sort of like-minded.
People that are going to be respectful about that and not, you know, because you're all in the same boat. And even if you're not, but just the fact you're running together, you're going to sort of like be mindful of that. And the owner can then relax as well. Don't have to worry. Yeah.
I think I'm very aware when we're running, I do scan everywhere. It's kind of, you know... When I first became a trainer, a dog fit trainer, I was kind of like, Eleanor came to my training session, and it was, you know, do I bring River? Don't I bring River? I thought she's going to kick off, and you know, everybody else is bringing their dog, and I'm bringing the Asbo dog with me, and she actually behaved herself, and
it did.
I think that gave me the confidence that actually I can, you know, because I thought how can I teach other people to run with their dog, with a dog that just is going to bark all the time and shout all the time. And it can be quite stressful, but the guys that come out that have got reactive dogs, I think, understand that, which is nice. So, you know, and I think you just got to be honest with people, because I think as well, always tell someone that you've got a reactive dog or a dog might be anxious about this, even though you might, because you're probably going to experience it on a run.
Mm.
The trainer doesn't know that the dog might not like pink sheep or whatever. You know, if you don't know that, then you kind of can avoid the situations for people. So I think as a trainer, there's a little bit of sort of pressure on you to just kind of take people to places that, you know, that you're not going to kind of put those dogs in situations that they don't want to be in.
Mm, definitely.
I think that's, there's just been some amazing stories and hopefully if anyone's listening to this that has got a nervous reactive dog that's been thinking about Canicross but thinks I can't go because my dog's going to be too loud and interrupt. I think we've given some valuable insights, but have you got a last kind of word to finish on how you'd, what you'd say to those people hesitating?
Just do it. You've got to go out there. It's great fun. You build up such a great bond with your dog. And you know, River, I think, is testament to a lot of sort of people's sort of phobia of doing it, the fact that she actually, and she loves it, and they will love it. So yeah, just go and do it. Try it with a, get some professional help though to do it.
Yeah.
Go out and get yourself a trainer. Don't just go out and join a group that just said, because I don't think everybody understands. So actually, if you work with a trainer first, you know, I would always suggest somebody goes and has a one-to-one with somebody. Just to kind of, just you know, so you've got an idea of what's going on, but it's great fun, and just go and do it, because, you know, you'll absolutely love it. You'll get addicted, and then you'll get another dog, and then you'll have three. And
and if you live in the Shoreham area,
then you can come and see it.
I'm back there.
So literally, I think I covered from sort of Brighton to Diddlehampton, and then up towards Horsham. So yeah, anybody in that area, come and come and join us. We've got some crazies that come out with us, but they absolutely love it, and their parents are great as well.
Oh, it's been so lovely to chat to you, Lindsay, and it's really nice. To hear all those wonderful stories and the positive outcomes. We have the dogs, how they started out, including River, and just to hear how they're all having so much fun, and the owners as well. So they're still able to go out and run with them and have some really positive stories to share. So I really appreciate your time chatting to us, and good luck with the rest of the season. I'm sure we'll see you again with River, and all our best to River. She's our little star. We love River.
She's around somewhere. She's probably waiting for a dinner. That's probably what she's doing.
She's giving you her orders. Yeah, I better let you go then. But yeah,
thanks so much, Lindsay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Talk Canny Cross. We really hope that you've enjoyed it. But don't forget to hit subscribe so we can keep you up to date and let you know when the next episode comes out. Happy canny crossing.